is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
All right, welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us lots of good reviews, tell your friends to subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe to the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. If you want to advertise with us, you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls and like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, I feel like we just watched the same game two nights in a row.
We really did. The Bulls lost by 11 at Milwaukee on Thursday night. And on Friday night, which we were recording on right now, they submitted just as poor of an effort without the fourth quarter rally that meant nothing this time and lost 95-69 to the Bucks. The Bulls fall to 13-13. The 69 points represent the fewest the Bulls have scored since they had that exact number in an April 2014 elimination game to the Washington Wizards. If you'll remember the barn burner 75-69 at the United Center to end that Bulls season. It was just about as ugly offensively tonight. The 26-point loss for the Bulls, the worst of their season. And they never had it together from the start. You said it looked like we watched the same game, and that's because all the same problems that were there Thursday night for the Bulls manifested themselves again right away Friday, even worse manner this time. The Bucks took the Bulls' early turnovers, and the Bulls, I think, only finished with 12 turnovers, but it was ugly early. The Bucks got out in transition, ran, dunked the ball a lot. They rebounded well, and generally they just played a lot faster than the Bulls and were much more tied together. The Bulls' defense not there tonight. And frankly, the Bulls didn't use the word embarrassing, but it was completely embarrassing to watch. The Boo Birds came out of the United Center by halftime. The Bulls got booed off the floor at the end of the game. And honestly, it was almost weird for me to sit there and watch how bad they were. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever really care if the Bulls win or lose, but it was just almost awkward to watch such horrific basketball, Sean.
This is the first time that I've actually felt like maybe the Bulls either have quit or are in the process of quitting on Fred Hoiberg. Like,
why do you say that?
There was just no, I mean, there was no energy. You know, Fred said last night after the game in Milwaukee, which I was there for in Milwaukee, that, you know, they've had meetings about playing a complete game or, you know, playing a 48-minute game, and that he hoped the message would get across by then. Obviously, it didn't tonight. They came out of the gate sluggish anyway, even after they played this exact same team 24 hours ago. The vibe has just been different this week ever since the loss to Minnesota. Like, they had that great first quarter against the Timberwolves, scored 38 points. Then they just, it's just been all downhill since then. Guys, I mean, you can just kind of tell them, like, the way guys are acting in the locker room afterwards. They don't know what's going on. The body language on the court has been bad lately. It just, none of this is good.
Yeah, you bring up the body language. Quit's a strong word to throw around. I see what you mean. It's really concerning. Really concerning how their effort, and not just their effort, but the lack of how they're tied together as a unit. Their togetherness is gone, which got brought up in the post-game press conference. Hoiberg pretty much acknowledged that. He said they thought their togetherness was better than anyone else's in the NBA early in the season. Not sure what the togetherness statistics are, where you find those exactly in the stat sheet.
That's a sport view thing, I think.
It's coming. That's the next era. Like, our kids and grandkids will have togetherness.
Team chemistry.
Yeah, stats. Analytics. Togetherness analytics in the future. But, you know, I actually wouldn't have argued that point with him early in the season. I mean, Rajon Rondo, like, wanted to fight people in the season opener and stuff on behalf of Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler or something, you know. So I don't dispute that point from Fred, but they just look nothing like that team of early in the season. You brought up the bad body language, and there were multiple instances
like
of this. Dwayne Wade throwing his hands up with no help defense after he got torched off the dribble.
Yeah, and then a couple possessions before that, actually, there was an uncontested dunk from Greg Monroe, and Dwayne Wade takes the ball out of bounds, and he just, like, in frustration, throws the ball against the stanchion and just, like, looks like he's just like, what am I doing here? Like, what is this?
Yeah, I would love for unfiltered, unvarnished Dwayne Wade thoughts when he was on the court with the four Bulls second unit guys, and it was just a disaster. Like, I would like to know what he really thinks. That might have to get saved for the memoir, like, when there's 20 chapters in it, and
maybe
it's chapter 19.
Uninterrupted video at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
Somewhere else.
And then the final chapter of Dwayne Wade's biography someday will be him going to the Hall of Fame, of course. But this, he cannot possibly have imagined that it would feel like this. You know what I mean? Like, just the abject failure and helplessness of watching some of these Bulls guys out there, and it was a total team disaster again, and just not being, no continuity, not on the same page. And I told you before we got on this podcast, like, we're not going to sit here and cite stats, because it's just, it's the effort, and it's just the embarrassment of how they played. It's not that the shots weren't going in, no matter what they want to say. It's not that the other team, the Bucks, had hot shooting. The Bulls just looked lost, Sean.
He did, and we should also probably touch on the other big theme of the night, or the big thing of the night, which was Nikola Mirotic. Last night in Milwaukee, got his first ever DNP coach's decision.
Mm-hmm.
He missed some games last year with the appendectomy, but he played all 82 games under Tom Thibodeau in his rookie year. He's never not played in a game that he was healthy for. Last night, he just didn't get in. He was taken out of the rotation. And then this morning, or not this morning, this evening, we were waiting for Fred Hoiberg to come out to address us like he usually does pregame. It was a little late. We were told that he was a little late because they were doing a walkthrough on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we were still waiting, Nico kind of walks in and walks to the locker room, and we're just like, hey, that's kind of weird. They're supposedly doing a walkthrough. Why is Nico not there? And so we ask Fred, and he says, no, Nico wasn't excused from walkthrough. We are going to have to talk about why it is. And then it turns out Nico just forgot to come to walkthrough, which, you know, he says it was an honest mistake. He says it was a coincidence. It looks kind of weird coming the day after he just got benched for the first time.
Unfortunate timing for Nico. I think we've both been around Nico all 3 years here of his career. And, look, he can lose his own confidence quickly, but he, being a professional, means something to him. I agree it was a completely honest mistake. He is not the character who would try to get back at the team.
And he said that
himself.
Show
of force. Yes, he said this after the game, a show of force, because he's upset the coach didn't play him. So, in Nico's words, he completely forgot, and quote, shit happens.
Yes.
So, that probably defines the Bulls' last week of basketball, their play, that slogan as well.
But something like this, I mean, you have to. If the Bulls had won their last few games, you could just kind of say, okay, this is an isolated incident.
Shoulder
just
shrug.
Like right, just like, you know, a few games ago when Rajon Rondo had his blow up in Dallas with the coaching staff,
mm-hmm.
gets suspended for a game by itself. Even though Rondo has kind of a history with that stuff, you can say, okay, that was a one time thing, and can move on. But it's like that happens, and then a week later they have that performance against the Timberwolves where they blow a 21-point lead, and then less than a week after that Nico gets benched, and then this happens. Like, it just feels like things are going off the rail a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, the concerning part, and back to Nico, he is going to get fined, Hoiberg said.
Yeah.
I presume he was the only Bull that didn't play in this blowout. 12 of 13 Bulls that were active.
Paul Zipser! Look at my man Paul Zipser, 8 minutes.
You guys should have seen Sean when the PA announcer addressed that, or said that Paul Zipser is coming in. Sean was sitting one row ahead of me in press row, and he just perked up and immediately went into tweet mode.
I got one of the new MacBooks that has the touch bar on the top, and so I was just like, one of the cool things about it is in TweetDeck you can like find emojis, so I was looking for like the siren emoji. To send
found the siren emoji,
found it pretty
quickly. There will be other days to talk more about Paul's
but like Mirza Teletovic was getting uncontested dunks against the
Bulls. Yeah, it really didn't matter who they played at that point.
Tony Snell put up 9. Wait, I mean, we don't want to get into stats too much, but Tony Snell in his revenge game, his return to the United Center, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. It's just, I mean,
he outscored Jimmy Butler. That's a nightmare for the Bulls.
Only 2 Bulls were in double figures: Dwayne Wade with 12 and Bobby Portis with 10. Bobby Portis hit a couple 3-pointers, by the way.
That doesn't matter.
It's also not what you want to see. It's also not what you want to see, because I feel like Bobby needs to have his impact be, you know, in defense and rebounding. He doesn't need to be a scorer, and I feel like hitting a couple of threes is going to encourage him to shoot more.
We need to get back to this Mirotić thing, though, because he said that he was surprised to be taken out of the rotation, and I think the game was so ugly tonight, and he seemed upset before the game that Nico was unexcused absence, just given how everything's been going for the Bulls lately. He doesn't want to have to put up with that. So Nico didn't play basically because he missed film session and walkthrough. I still think he'll get back into the rotation fairly quickly, in part because the Bulls just scored 69 points. What he brings to the team is the ability to shoot, and shooters got to shoot, right? Like, the only way to shoot yourself out of a slump is to shoot. And
he's shooting this season under 40% from the field and under...
He's like 28%.
Under 30% from 28%
on three-pointers this year.
And honestly, like, Bobby Portis hasn't been particularly good, but he's at least been more energetic and he's been better.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Been worse than Nico has been lately? Because I don't think he's been worse.
I think they've both been awful.
They've been
this
both
year.
Bad, but I don't think Bobby has been worse than Nico.
Okay. I still think Nico's ceiling's higher, and I think when he's performed well, he's helped them win games. I just haven't really seen Bobby perform well hardly at all this year, and maybe he'll get that chance soon. But Nico said he was surprised to be taken out of the rotation, which I get. I mean,
he was taken out of the rotation too.
He did play the first 172 games of his career when he was active, so I do get what he means by that. But then I almost couldn't. We had disagreement in the media room after the game as to Nico was asked, why don't you think you're shooting well? And I couldn't tell if he said, I'm just not playing well, or I'm just not playing now. And if he said, I'm just not playing now, he's tying his shooting struggles in a way back to not getting enough minutes. But he was hard to understand because
English is not his first language.
It's not his first language. Everyone's in a bad mood. He's not exactly speaking really loud and clear after they get their butt kicked and he doesn't play. So, not exactly sure what he all meant by that, but he does have to play if he's going to get better. And I don't know. The Portis-Felicio pairing looked lost tonight, and I know we've pushed Chris Felicio quite a bit, but
I was just surprised that
no one made a difference for the Bulls.
Just surprised that Fred actually went through with benching Nico, because Nico is a guy, I think, more than anybody else on the Bulls bench, Nico is a guy who needs to have his confidence there in order to play well. And benching him for not just for two straight games, but just for one game, like, what's that going to do to his confidence? And then if his confidence is gone, once he gets back in, he's going to be second-guessing himself, and then you know, down the line, his trade value is not going to be great if that's a thing that the Bulls are maybe looking at. I don't know.
So it had to have gotten so bad in Hoiberg's mind that that's reflective, too, of how poorly Nico's played, that Fred knows how important confidence is to Nico.
Uh-huh.
That's probably why he kept riding him so much through the stretch. But it got so bad that he had to bench him that he thought the motivational tactic and wake-up call was more important than the confidence or possibly the downside, the risk of completely shooting his confidence. You know what I mean?
Do you think he plays Monday against Detroit?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think he plays in his normal rotation spot as the first big off the bench?
Can I say second? I'm going to say second big man.
So you think he's going to? So you think Bobby's going to come in first, and then Nico? Or
they might use Chris against
or
the Pistons.
They used him a lot
against the Pistons last time, right? I believe.
Yeah. So
because he's a bigger guy, and Drummond just beats him on the board so much.
So I want to touch on something else
quick,
which is after the game, we asked Fred Hoiberg kind of how they can turn this around, and Fred said they need to go in on Sunday and have their best practice of the year. And I feel like they've had a lot of their best practices of the year lately. That's been a recurring theme with
stuff. Really bad when your name starts getting thrown around as a joke by some people in earnestness, media members who have covered both of them, and the other one I'm referring to here is Mark Trestman, the Bears coach who lasted 2 years, got canned after the 2014 season. It might be the most infamous Chicago coach to always cite practice. You know what I mean?
How great every practice has been, you mean?
In his last year of his tenure was a disaster. And look, that's what Fred's name's getting thrown around with right now. Again, sometimes it's a joke from people on Twitter, in the press room. Other times it's simply people being serious, like, this reminds me exactly of Trestman quotes. And it's not good, because it's reflective of nothing going right on the court, and you thinking you have the answer in practice and not translating. And look, Jimmy Butler was asked, and Fred was asked too about this after the game, and I give more credit to Jimmy here than Fred on this night. Fred was asked, you know, like, the game looked the exact same on Thursday and Friday, as Sean pointed out here, like we were watching a carbon copy. What adjustments did you make? And Fred completely dodged the question. He just recited what happened Thursday and Friday again.
He's been doing that a lot.
He did not answer any questions about adjustments. So either he didn't want to reveal them or they didn't have any, because it certainly looked like they didn't have any. To Jimmy Butler's credit, he said, look, I get what you guys mean. With all due respect, I'm not going to say what the adjustments were and reveal game plan details, which I do understand.
Sure.
But then he said it was in the execution, it wasn't in the game plan. It was on us not following it well enough.
And that makes me, that goes back to what I was saying originally, which is that I'm wondering if maybe Fred is, you know, falling on deaf ears, or, you know, guys are not really responding to him, or if he's losing them a little bit. I mean,
he's lost him a little bit in the last week.
It's in play right now.
I don't see how you can watch him play and say he has any stranglehold on them in the last week as far as getting a message across.
This is bad. This is worse than it ever was last
year. Yeah, and look, Fred said, everyone's accountable, and it starts with me, which I get. That's the right thing to say.
No players-only meeting, by the way. Jimmy was asked about a players-only meeting.
Let's get to that in a sec. But Fred, like, if it's going to be accountable on you, Fred needs to say, well, I didn't make adjustments, didn't change the game plan, and here's why, and I failed. Or I did do this, and this didn't happen. And it didn't happen because I failed here or because the players didn't listen and lock in. Like, these platitudes, you can get away with meaningless, empty platitudes when your team's playing well, or even on a playoff track. Or, you know, just, you can get away with that when you're not embarrassing yourself. You know what I mean?
Man, they're back down to 500
now. If the playoffs start today, the Bulls are not in it. They're tied for the 8th seed with the Hawks, and the Hawks have the tiebreaker as of right now. So just throwing that out there for all those good vibes at the start. If the playoffs starts when you're listening to this, probably the Bulls are
coming. How long ago does that 4-2 circus trip feel, by the way?
Decades ago.
Because, like, that was this season.
It was ages
ago. And they easily could have gone 5-1 on that trip with some weird stuff happened in the Denver game.
And look, I don't want to be the media member guy who sits here and yells, we need answers, okay? But, like, it's not just about the media. Like, if you're playing poorly and just serving up these platitudes to the media, to me it's reflective of you serving up these meaningless platitudes, game plans, sayings, message, whatever it is, to your team who's not receiving it. You know what I mean? Like, it's different, but there are also similarities and parallels there, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine Fred is out here giving these really fiery, inspiring speeches to his teammates and then just coming in to us and just saying, hey, yeah, you know, we have to try to get better, you know, again, we have to...
When's he blow up? Does he blow up? Does he ever blow up?
Does he have that in him? Does he have that gear in him? Or, like, maybe we see a Hurricane Neddy moment, I don't know. Are you a Simpsons watcher at all?
Very little. It was when I was much younger.
So there was an episode where Ned Flanders, who is, you know, in temperament a lot like Fred Hoiberg, he just kind of never gets mad at anything and stays very positive.
Freaked out.
A hurricane wipes out his house, and finally he just snaps and goes off on everybody. I don't know if we're going to see that from Fred. At some point, it kind of has to. But, you know, if it didn't happen after these last three games, it's just, I don't know, is it going to happen? I don't know.
I don't think he even has to snap. Like, I said that kind of slightly, probably rhetorical and already knowing the answer anyway.
Sure.
But, like, at some point, the persona has to change.
Yeah.
You have to act like you're pissed off and mad. You don't have to snap, but you have to make clear that it's not acceptable.
But hey, I mean,
when you get asked questions, you don't just come with the same line. Oh, you know, it's just about finding, getting on the same page again. So that's what I mean. When's that going to happen? And, you know.
Oh, by the way, just also, I just literally just remembered this.
Okay.
Taj Gibson, he left the game with a hip contusion.
He has a bruise that hurts.
He has a bruise in his hip. That's not great.
We'll ask the Bulls on Sunday how bruised it still is and whether he'll play Monday. And I'm guessing he probably will play Monday, but we'll see.
Taj plays through a lot of stuff.
We'll keep an eye on that. But yeah, like, to me, it's just, I don't know. Like, there has to be a message here. And you think about the Thibodeau era. Like, did Tom ever just I don't remember him ever completely just snapping at the media. But you could tell when he had a message for his team, sometimes he would send it through the media. You know?
Yeah.
Fred's never done that yet. Never done that yet. He had a chance last year, too, when Jimmy Butler said to coach harder. He needed a coach harder. No one in the organization admonished Jimmy for that. They've moved on. That part of it is fine. I get it. But they've just haven't used that tactic in the Hoiberg era. And at some point, you got to get pissed off if this is the play you're bringing to the floor every night. Jimmy Butler, though, said that anger's not going to be in a team meeting because, quote, we don't need to sit around in a circle and pat each other on the back and tell each other it's going to be okay.
Right. And just one more note, just for housekeeping here. Michael Carter-Williams had his exam with the team doctor today. He got the cast off of his wrist. He said that he is hoping to return to practice next week, and he's optimistic that he'll be able to start playing again around Christmas, maybe not exactly on Christmas, but they have a few games around Christmas, so I think he's
25th and 26th.
23rd in Charlotte, 25th in San Antonio, 26th here against Indiana, so you know it's somewhere in there if MCW can get back. Yeah, that'll maybe help the Bulls, but again, he's not a scorer. He's more of a defender. Like, they need somebody else who can score when nights like tonight when Jimmy and Wade aren't. Brandon.
Yeah, they need some more heart because they didn't have much any heart that I saw tonight.
No.
So, that's the glum, doomy, sad outlook for the Bulls.
This is the most depressing episode of Locked On Bulls I think we've ever had.
It's truly a depressing episode. I almost want to just put in the headline for the podcast, Shit Happens.
We can do it.
That might be...
I don't know if we have, do we have the explicit tag on the...
It might get bumped up.
Maybe
we
do.
I think we might have been PG before and just went to, PG-13 or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, God help us.
You can say shit on network TV now.
Yeah, just God help us if the Bulls ever get to be R-rated, because the season's really just gone off the rails at that point. So
yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's because, well, Tom's not here anymore, so there's going to not be any JFCs.
Yeah, we got our fill of those last Tuesday. But as always, follow Sean on Twitter, @Hyken. Follow myself, @CodyWestroad. Find us on Twitter, @LockedOnBulls. Find us on Facebook, @LockedOnBulls, if that's the way you like to get directed to your podcast, you can email us @LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Basketball questions, we always appreciate, especially on the light, off days, practice days, whatever.
Yeah.
Advertising inquiries, always welcome as well to LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And most of all, please subscribe and tell your friends about Locked On Bulls.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. If you have friends that are fans of a different NBA or NFL team, tell them to check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, as well as Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On NFL Draft. There's a Locked On podcast for whatever your favorite team is or your favorite sport. We will be back with you probably Sunday after practice. Take it easy, guys.
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4x gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.